Blog Talk Radio. All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the table, the Possession, Resources, and Finances table. I'm your co-host tonight. This is Adia Sanders. We also have on the line our very own Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap. We also have Mary, and who we call Mama. And tonight we have the pleasure and the honor of hearing again from none other than Ms. Kimberly Silas. Our topic for this month is health is your wealth. And on last week, just to give you a little bit, if you didn't get the opportunity to hear the show, was we want to choose life. We have Kimberly Silas who said, you know, at one point she was at her heaviest when it came to her weight and how it impacted her finances, how it impacted how she looked at herself. And tonight she's going to come back to the table and talk with us about the strength and empowerment, about how to live a healthy life and how your what you say and even the things that you think are what you begin to paint a picture of in your very own life. It's important that we are intentional. It is also important that we understand that there is a spiritual bonding, and it's not just about your poor eating habits, but it also plays into your self-image. It also plays into the choices all the way around that also become poor as well. And so things such as having an unhealthy relationship, unhealthy friendships, all of those things play a part into what we do in our lives and the decisions that we make on a daily basis, something as simple as our weight. But I would like to share with you and challenge you to the very core of your being that if you think that it's just about your weight, you're probably mistaken. It could be things as when I get my paycheck, I feel like I deserve a new purse or a new pair of shoes. And the next thing you know, you're buying stuff that you don't need every pay period. And so I want to take this opportunity to have people to just get on the line and tune in and take notes and listen to everything that she has to say, because I promise you, you are going to leave the table full and a different person. And so I want to take the opportunity just to introduce our founder of PRF, none other than our very own Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap. How are you tonight?
I am good. I am good. I am so glad to be able to sit in the background on this evening while Adia just goes forth. I was just telling somebody, I was like, this is it. This is how you bring in the show. Where am I at? How come I can't be like Adia when I bring in the show? So I'm just ready. I'm excited. I'm glad that Kimberly is back with us again. I'm so glad for all the people who have tuned in last week and the ones that are going to tune in this week, the ones who are already on the line that are listening to what God will have us to communicate in this space. And we just encourage everybody, if you're listening, press one on your phone, press one on your dial pad. We want to hear from you. We want to hear some of your challenges, some of your strengths, some of your weaknesses. You know, God has brought so many of us through so many different type of challenges when it comes to health. We need to share that with somebody else. So if you're listening online, I'll just say this. If you're listening online, you can still jump into the conversation. Dial 347-215-7934. We will see you light up on the switchboard. I'll monitor the switchboard tonight while y'all just go at it and give us all that we can give. So, again, I'm just happy to be here.
All right. We're going to have Mama, if you just give us some opening remarks any comments that you have?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say good evening to my PRF family. And once again, I'm excited that we're all able to be here tonight to enjoy the show. I really got an awareness of it's not the things that I have not heard before, but I got such an awareness of being in the presence of someone who really made a decision to change. You know, her eating habits, mm-hmm. her attitude, mm-hmm. which helped her to feel better about her self-image and to want to come and share with us. And I also got more of an awareness about how obesity is really no joke. And like, Miss Kimberly was saying, you know, people were telling her how pretty she is and everything and whatnot, you know. But the truth of the matter is that she didn't feel pretty herself. And she did all she knew to do. But because she was out there trying, she found an answer. And that just really has been in my spirit. So we must try. And like she said, she tried many, many things, and they didn't work. So now she's up against the wall here. But the part that I like is that, you know, she didn't get her results right away, but she did not give up. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much. Before, you know, I bring the illustrious Ms. Kimberly Silas, I just want to share something with you all. And one of the things that stuck with me was that Kimberly said was that even when she set a goal of how much weight she wanted to lose, even if she didn't do it, and, you know, because a lot of people would consider that a failure, I didn't reach my goal, she celebrated what she did achieve. And I was sharing with someone today, I said, you know, I am encouraged. I said, because even if sometimes we take failure hard, there was a commercial on TV that says, you know, that talks about as Americans, we don't like to lose. But sometimes we got to be okay with it and realize that if you gave your best and didn't get to where you wanted to go, celebrate what you did achieve. And so that stuck with me, and being able to share that on today with several people was very encouraging. And I just have the honor and the privilege to introduce a phenomenal woman who is, not only did she lose weight, not only did she take charge of her life, but she did not let it stop there. She paid it forward. And I hope that she is ready to give it to us on tonight. The dialogue that we're going to talk about is how to reshape normalcy around fitness, finances, and health. And what Kimberly is going to do is talk to us about body transformation, because that is what she specializes in. She is a coach and an independent business owner that hails all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. And if you are on the call tonight, text your friend, text a loved one who can take what she's saying and apply it to their lives and be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Without further ado, I give you our very own special guest for the entire month of January, y'all. Can you get excited? Miss
yes.
Kimberly Silas.
Great evening, everyone. Thank you so very much, Adia, Dr. Dunlap, and Mama, and to the entire PRF family. I am so honored. What an amazing introduction. This has actually been a very, very, very enlightening week for me. I came on last week so incredibly excited, and I am equally excited on this evening, but throughout the week, I've begun to pay closer attention to my own intent and my own actions, and I have just been elated beyond measure. What's resting in my spirit right now is the power of a 21-day commitment. I started on the 2nd of January with a team of professional individuals to do a fruit and vegetable fast for the first 21 days of the year. And, of course, it's a form of detoxification and cleansing for better health and clarity, and it also helps with your diet and digestion. But through this process and in conjunction with last week's show, I began to realize so many things. Number one, how easily and attainable it is to wrap a commitment around 21 days. If I said, let's do this 21 months, we'd have people falling off in the first 10 days. But when you create a habit or you're trying to break a habit, 21 days is doable for a lot of people. So without going into great length, I just want to share within my first 48 hours, I began to feel better. I had more clarity. I wasn't as fatigued. And from this last week to now, today being the 12th, I began to realize that this 21-day I can apply into any area of my life. From within the week, even on such a consistent regimen that I've been practicing, I have saved in spending approximately $47. So I haven't decided exactly how to allocate those funds, but I was considering that it is a gift that I am able to be in this position and to recognize where my strength comes from. Of course, half of it is going to go to tithing, and I'm considering the other half strongly to my savings, because I would have spent this on some form of nutrition, I would believe, because when you make a decision to live a certain lifestyle, you buy the same foods and you do the same thing. Well, I have mastered the art of getting the most affordable options available. Well, this past week, of course, I'm eating a lot differently, a lot better, and I didn't spend what I traditionally spend. So I'm saying this money should be allocated toward tithe offering or to my savings. But I wanted to touch strongly on the power of creating healthy habits. And 21 days, it's able to develop a habit or either break a habit. And I jotted down some notes that I thought that would be helpful. But I think the first thing I did when it was conveyed to me that we would embark upon this journey is that I made a commitment to be on board 100%. Am I willing to do these 21 days? Yes, I am. I made a commitment. The third thing I did was I tapped into that giant within. Whenever you set forth to accomplish something, you go to your inner self and you decide past that commitment, what am I going to use to tap in as resource? And my inner resource is that giant within that we all have, whether you want to call it commitment or tenacity. Some of us are stubborn. Tap into that attribute, that quality that you have that you know will not leave you unmanned. Fourth thing is set smart, self-rewarding habits. Take accountability. With those 21 days, I decided that I was going to have every meal and snack on point. I would not be left out alone to decide through a fast food outlet where my nutrition would come from. So I set healthy, realistic, attainable goals. Now, for me, exercise doesn't consist of heavy lifting in a gym. Exercise for me could be simple as stretching in the middle of the living room, stepping out to the front porch to get a good gulp of fresh air, walking around the block, walking through the mall, take aggressive steps through the mall. Exercise should be fun and healing and healthy. And if the gym is not healthy for you, that's not where I would start. Always start with something that feels good to the body, because it is an undertaking that you're going to have to commit to. And then last but not least, I would say that it's the prayer and meditation factor. Quite often in prayer, we go to God and we ask for favors instead of sitting still, having a conversation, meditating on the response. So I have taken great pleasure in the fact that I have learned to communicate wholeheartedly and openly and sit still in quiet reflection and wait on my answer. And a lot of times we say, I don't have an extra 10 minutes. I don't have an extra 7 minutes. I don't have an extra 5. I suggest whatever it takes to make time for your extra 5 minutes. In the beginning for me, meditation was a process of it was strongly resembling turning the television from channel to channel to channel. I did not know how. I had an innate inability to quiet my mind. But in consistent practice, just 21 days, find something for 21 days and do that consistently, and you will learn to sit still, quiet the mind, pray, and meditate. And maybe 2 minutes is a long time for someone who hasn't sat still for a while. But I can't make it through my day at this point without finding 10 to 15 minutes of quiet, uninterrupted time just for my prayer and meditation. So those are some of the things that that I do on a regular basis. And as of last week to now, I began to really focus on the fact how this decision to change my health so significantly impacts my wealth, and that everything I've practiced, I can apply towards every area of my life. And my finances has definitely come to the forefront. Earning money and creating residual income is great, but the actual saving and reinvestment should be paramount. How am I applying? Am I being a correct and right steward over my finances? So I wanted to get all of that out. And if anyone had any questions or input or comments, I am certainly open to answer any questions. And I hope that I've been able to enlighten you or to impact someone in a positive way this evening. Does anyone have any comments or concerns?
Yes. So this is Mama speaking. What was the third fact that you gave about healthy habits?
Unleash that inner giant within, tap into that inner purpose?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
For me, Mama, it's stubbornness. I am a stubborn person, not in the sense that I'm cruel and insensitive, but I'm strong-willed, and I've often been told that I'm stubborn. So I don't know if it's from childhood or whether I recognize it through this process, but I know that when I wrap my mind around something, I won't let go. And I call that my aggressive giant, my stubborn giant, that giant within. And that's what I use. And I found that everybody has something. We all have something, some type of giant inside of us that aids in every area of our lives when we need to accomplish something. And I know that mine can be stubbornness. I won't let go.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Kimberly. This is Adia. I have a question that I wanted to ask you when you were talking about the 21 days. Did you find that as you were preparing to go into the 21 days, that there were certain things that were already coming to the forefront of your mind as far as, you know, as dealing with them in prayer and meditation or developing a plan? Is that something that you experienced?
You know, Adia, I hope I answered this correctly, but I think I overlooked how easy it is to accomplish a 21-day goal. If the goal had been set, I would say, for 60 days, it's so hard to stretch the mind past a good, you know, even into your first month, you'd be like, oh, I don't like this. I'm not seeing the results that I need. But 21 days, I know I haven't studied on the concept of the 21 days, but I know that scientifically it's proven that if you want to create a habit or break a habit, 21 days is the most realistic, and it's doable. People will sign on quickly, and they won't give up so fast because we can all do 3 weeks. So when this was introduced to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to get in on that. I want to get rid of some of these cakes and pies I've had for the holidays, and I can do 21 days. We'll be the third week in January, and we'll be done. Well, what I didn't realize in that instant is how easy it is to break or create a new habit in less than 21 days. And within my first 48 hours, I felt so much better to the degree that I was excited about the process. So to answer your question, I think that it takes a personal commitment, an undisturbable commitment. I was willing to take on the accountability of this process and not let anything deter me. In that commitment to avoid deterrence, you have to, on the forefront, set an agenda, set realistic goals. I'm going to make it to the grocery store on this day, and I'm going to purchase everything I need for the first week. I'm going to have enough. And I think we need to have all of the things that we need, whether it's for a diet regimen or a physical regimen outside of diet and nutrition, that you have all your bases covered, that you don't leave yourself in the wilderness unprepared. And quite often with diet and nutrition, people will start out and say, oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this, but they don't prepare themselves for the hunger attacks. I have an igloo cooler that looks like it'll feed a team of construction men. And a lot of my coworkers, family, and friends, they laugh at me because they're like, who needs a lunchbox that big? And I said, we all do. It's a mini refrigerator, and it keeps an abundance of foods. Not that I'll eat all of that throughout the day, but I always have my options covered. When in the event that I'm hungry, I have something to fall back on that's going to be healthy and nourishing to the body. I'm not contingent upon the local drive-thru to feed or nourish my body. So I think we need to have a surplus of sense that you keep yourself covered. So the 21 days for me, I made it out of I looked forward to it with great enthusiasm because I wanted to make it fun. And I knew that I could do it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, let me say something. I think I heard you say that just in 48 hours you saved $47.
Well, it's the first week. We started on the 2nd, and today is the 12th. So within 10 days, I've saved $47 from my regular grocery menu.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Okay, so watch this. Just with that amount of money, just with that over that week period that you were talking about, if you continue on with that, and I want people to hear this, if you continue on with that same regimen, then that's going to be $1,715.50 for a whole year. So watch this. You said that if we do, and I've heard this before as well, Kimberly, if you do something for 21 days, then you create a habit out of doing it. And we're in this time right now, and I'm so glad that we're having this dialogue at the beginning of the year when so many people are foolishly, churched or not, dealing with these resolutions. Well, a resolution is nothing. Let's talk about what you're going to do past the 30-day mark in the first of the year. If you ask somebody, what's your New Year's resolution, but you ask this to somebody in June, it done fell off the wagon. It done fell off the wagon because folks done got income tax returns. It done fell off the wagon because folks done messed up with their income tax returns, and it's not as important anymore. And so I just hope that the people who are listening will understand this is not just about the short term, it's also about the long term. You can't think about wealth in the short term, but you can think about riches in the short term. You can go out and hit the lottery that short term. So as we have this series tonight, and last week and the next two Thursdays, I want people to understand that we're talking about your health is your wealth. And it's not something that just comes overnight. It takes some planning sometimes. It takes, you know, putting some things into place. I posted something on our Facebook page, and I want people to just respond to it. You know, what healthy habits can you do for 21 days? And I'll say it, I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I think that's something that I'm going to be more conscious of over the next 21 days. From now, I don't even know if it's from now until the last show or to the last day of the month, I'm going to make a conscious effort not to have any fast food. No French fries, no hamburgers. I don't eat a lot of it, but if I'm going to be conscious of it, and I'm going to also pay attention to how much money am I going to save by not eating those things. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to go out and get a Subway, a sub from Subway, or a Hoagie. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean I'm not going to do that, but I'm not going to eat the fast foods because they're not healthy for us. I'm going to be conscious over the next 21 days about sodas. I don't drink a lot of sodas, but I don't want to have any. And we can do that. All of us can do something, and that's what I want people to just, whether you call in, whether you post it on Facebook, talk about what you're going to do. There's people that are waiting and willing to see what other folks are going to do. Y'all know us. I just say us, whoever the us's are. A lot of us don't want to do anything until somebody else does something. But if you don't tell people what you're doing, then a lot of folks don't even get on that bandwagon. So I just thought, I just started running the numbers, and I was like, man, that's a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money to me. I mean, you know, I just don't drop, you know, $1,100 on anything. So, and when you take that into consideration, what I believe strongly in my heart, and I'll be quiet after this, I believe strongly in my heart that when you take those baby steps, God will turn those baby steps into big steps, because now you'll be equipped to know, okay, I can take these small steps to get to a bigger place. And when God can see that we're willing to do that, then he'll do something to give us more to be able to be stewards over. But ain't no way in the world the God that I serve is going to keep throwing stuff at folk that ain't going to do right by the little parts of it. So
that is so true. You know, Dr. Dunlap, you mentioned if you question someone in June about their New Year's resolution, they will not have memory of the commitment that they originally made. I was reading something recently that says by January the 10th, the average person that has set New Year's resolutions that came on December 31st saying this is what they're going to do in the new year to come, by the 10th of January, they have already abandoned those commitments. Setting unrealistic goals, it's just a matter of setting unrealistic goals and also unattainable goals. Not that you can't accomplish those things, but when you don't know what to do, you cannot teach yourself something you do not know. And last week we discussed a closed mouth will not get fed. You have to mention to somebody, find an accountability partner and say, this is what I'm challenged with, and I need help in attaining these goals. 21 days, even when you're wandering in the wilderness, you can do 21 days. You can do 14 days. You can even do 7 days if you just set small, realistic goals and not burden yourself with an entire year of practicing a protocol that you have no experience in. But when you say, okay, 7 days, I wouldn't expect myself to be a genius or an expert in this area within 7 days. I'm just going to do what I think is normal or rational. And then another 7 days and another 7 days. 21 days is that baby steps that you've been talking about. And I can certainly attest to the fact that God will bless you abundantly. The abundance, just if you take one step, he'll take two. And he does it over and over and over again. But I can truly identify that God will not give you what you're not ready to handle. And delay does not mean deny. But he's not going to put something on you or in your hands when you have not proved that you are right steward over the small things. So that's just huge for me. I really appreciate that, Dr. Dunlap.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Kimberly. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, as far as, like, you know, with I don't think it's really a question. It might not be a question, more of a statement. Creating healthy habits, I like when you said it, yes, a comment. I like what you said about creating healthy habits because I think you said it, is that what it gives us are choices and it gives us options. And it allows us, like you mentioned earlier, to do things that are attainable versus something that is just so far-fetched that the person would never be able to reach it. Because on last week, you talked about, you know, celebrating the small wins that you have. And I was, you know, sharing with my son about how, you know, you have the war, but within the war, you have battles. You know, and in those battles, you know, that's an opportunity for you to fine tune those things that you maybe didn't necessarily get, but it still contributes to the entire war. So I really like what you said about creating healthy habits. I like what you said about, you know, preparing. That's something that I'm really probably not the best at. You know, I was, you know, talking on a messenger about how I do grocery shop, you know, do healthy snacks and stuff that I take to work with me. And I've had some of my coworkers say, why in the world do you have that big old cooler? Like, do you have enough food in here for me? I'm like, no, this is all for me because I like options. And I like being able to choose that if I don't want the fruit that I brought, then maybe I can eat a fruit bar. Or, you know, I bring a cup to work because we have a kitchenette, I'm able to wash it out every day. But I go to the water fountain to get water. I don't have to worry about carrying a big old case of water upstairs. And people are like, you drink the water? I'm like, yeah, I haven't died yet. Nothing has happened. You know, but just coming up with healthy options and habits that are going to help us, you know, progress in life and get to those goals that we're setting for ourselves, I think is just so phenomenal how you expounded on that. And I'm going to be quiet because we do have a caller on the line ending in 0153. We are so glad that you are with us on tonight, and I'm just going to ask that you just go ahead and jump in and share or ask whatever question that you have. Thank you so much, and please give us your name.
Sure. My name is Cameron Bish, and I was thinking about the fact that health does not simply – we're not able to see whether a person is healthy by just there are a lot of small people that have poor nutrition. And to think about it from the standpoint of knowing ourselves and knowing our Creator, giving us the wisdom enough to say, hey, this might be also impacting me now. So being wise enough to know yourself and find a plan that works for you. And when she was talking about setting goals and thinking about how you can address and preparing to live a healthier lifestyle for yourself, I thought about whenever God gives us a task or something that he would like for us to do, he never leaves us without instructions. The Bible itself is full of instructions for life, for everything, and I think that healthy eating and healthy lifestyles are all a part of God's plan for us, and I think that the more we're able to tap into, when she was talking about taking time to pray and meditate, the more we're able to do that, I think that God slowly begins to show us these areas, including our health. She made a statement about obesity, and nowadays a lot of people don't really want to hear about obesity, and they don't want to admit or address the fact that that's a national problem just in America. Where people are over-consuming, it's part of our culture and part of our lifestyle. And the more that we as a body of Christ are able to step out of that cultural mindset, I think the more God is calling us to do and move in the world. And thank you all.
Wow, this
thank
is
so
Kimberly. Thank you, caller, so very much. I didn't catch your name. I apologize. But I so agree with everything you said, and I greatly appreciate you for calling in. And you're absolutely right. We assume that the thin, more trim person is automatically healthy from just the appearance alone, and not consider that they may have some internal health issues or challenges going on. But you're absolutely right. And I also like what you said, knowing yourself and your physical creator. I know in the culture of the body of Christ, we have a cliche that I know whose I am and who I am. But I must admit that I grew up in the church, and for way into my adult life, I had not really embraced the belief of whose I am and the empowerment that I had within. I think that came later through me stepping out on faith and just standing on his word and practicing. It takes a lot of practice to build self-esteem. But once I began to realize, just like you said, knowing who I am and my physical creator, it is when I began to realize that I was empowered to be and do so much more than I was executing. So I certainly appreciate you calling in for that.
Before you get off the call to our caller, can you just tell us where you're calling from, please?
Yes, I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right.
Welcome, Little
Big
Rock.
Big up to Little Rock. Big up.
Thank you.
I just want to share something, and Kimberly, you mentioned it about the 21 days. I will tell you, you know, when you were talking about the 21 days, there's a passage of scripture that came to mind, and it is found in Daniel chapter 10, and I just want to read a little bit of it. I hope I can. And he was talking, this is Daniel talking, it's Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, and I'm reading from, it's the Amplified version, but it says, I ate, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 whole weeks. I ate no pleasant or desirable food, nor did any meat or wine come into my mouth. Can we say sodas and juice? I'm just, you know. And I did not anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was on the bank of the great river Hiddekel, which is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was a golden luster like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. And he's just, chapter, verse 6, just he's explaining what the man looked like. But it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them so that they hid themselves. That's in verse 7. I'm going to go down to verse 10. Verse 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom, verse 12, I do apologize. It said, then he said to me, fear not. See, I like when we're talking about fasting, a lot of times people are in fear because they're like, oh, my gosh, well, what if I this or what if I that? Well, you haven't done it yet. And so I like that the angel told Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind, and that's what I like. You talked about making a decision, making a commitment. When you set the first day that he set his mind and heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were already heard. And I have come as a consequence for your words, of your words. When he spoke it, so you talked about, you know, those things that we, you know, begin to think and begin to speak. When he released those words, the angel said, I heard them, and that's why I came. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. We got to know that when we make a commitment, there's going to be some challenges and people or things or even ourselves are going to come up and try to say, you can't do it. You know you really need that soda. You know you really need that Big Mac or them fries. But he says, in those 21 days, the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He held me up. And then, Michael, can we talk about the prayer partner? Can we talk about an accountability partner, someone that we told? It says he came to help me, for I remained there with the king of Persia. Now, I have come to make you understand what it is to befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. And I like this because it lines up with what you said, Kimberly, that when we make up our minds, when we make a commitment that for 21 days we're giving up something that is desirable, we're giving up something that tastes oh so good but may not be good for us, whether we you know, are overweight, obese, skinny, which is sometimes could be deathly unhealthy, that this is something that could help us to realign where we currently are. And so I thank you so much. I just wanted to share that because when we talk about 21 days, when we understand what the 21 days really means, it's about us making a commitment. It's about us speaking some things that we're believing for as our natural body goes through that physical state of fiending for things that we know we really don't need, but yet our body says that we need it when we really don't. And so I thank you so much. And I just wanted to share that. I'm going to drop the mic and pass it over to Nate because I know he wanted to give a couple of nuggets as well. But 21 days, I'm telling you, is a time to commit, to release, and to allow our bodies to say, you know what, I don't need those things that are desirable because they're not what I need. But what I do need is to be able to meditate to get the things that I really need and am believing God for as I go through the year and as I go, you know, progress on to my future. So thank you so much, Nate.
Thank you.
Wow. One of the things that I want to encourage people, because a lot of times it's hard for folks to get out the gate, right, especially when we talk about church folks or the saints of God or the children of God or believers, however you want to label ourselves. But I want to give one scripture that I think that if we can all just be at this one place with this one scripture, then we're all at the starting blocks. We're all right there ready for the gun to go off so we can run our own individual race. Because, Kimberly, as you said last week, we're all at different places. You know, there's somebody that may be 400 pounds where another person may only be 300 pounds. There's somebody that looks healthy, but they can't walk from here to the mailbox without running out of breath. So we all are at different places, but if we come to a place where we can all get on one accord and say, where are we going to start this journey at? Whether you start your journey today or I start mine tomorrow, where are we going to start the journey? And I think the most befitting place that we can all start our journey is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. In the New Living Translation, it says this: don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And if you think about that for a moment, the fact that the one who created us is not requiring this, but we have the option of being able to do this. I have the option of honoring God with my body. He ain't saying this is what you got to do. That's not what this scripture is. The scripture is not making anybody do anything. It's saying, look, you don't belong to yourself. You didn't create yourself. God paid for you with a high price. So this is like, you know, in Romans, it talks about, in Romans chapter 12, at the beginning of chapter 12, it talks about this is your reasonable service. It's our reasonable service to honor God with our body, to make sure that we're healthy. Because at the end of the day, our health is our wealth. We know that. Those of us who have been on there for this Thursday and last Thursday, we know that. So I want to encourage everybody with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and let that be, and you mentioned the word meditate. Let that be the scripture that you meditate. Meditate on that scripture so that you can just do whatever needs. And I think that if we can do that, then if we go to some place like Proverbs chapter 6, some of us have heard about Proverbs chapter 6 that talks about the ants and what the ants do, and they're wise, and we need to learn from them. They don't have anybody making them do anything, but they labor. They labor hard all summer so they can gather food for the winter. Talking about wealth. So if you don't labor now, not just in gathering up riches, riches don't make you wealthy. But if you don't gather now doing the things that you need to do for your health, getting your health back into alignment, some folks know. I hate to hear people talk about, I'm going to let it go during Thanksgiving. Joker, you may not make it to Christmas. I hate folks talking about where they're just going to let it go during a Christmas holiday. You may not make it to New Year's. So we got to do better. And we have to do better talking about it within the church as well. And I didn't want to say it, but it's coming up. And y'all know how I go. We got too many of my colleagues that are unhealthy. And we sit as members in the pews looking at men and women of God serving that are unhealthy. And we don't even love them enough to say, you know, I'm a member of this gym. You want to come with me, Pastor? You want to come with me, Rev? Not, and again, this is not for everybody, but there got to be somebody in your whole congregation of 200 that's doing something healthy, that loves their pastor enough to say, hey, I love you enough. Can we, instead of going out to eat, let me tell you, we love to go out to eat. Every time I'm meeting with somebody, let's do breakfast, lunch, or dinner. How about we meet on the track? How about we meet at the gym? How about we just walk around? I got a good brother. He's going to be one of our guests on the show in February, on one of our shows in February. This brother know that I'm not a gym type of person anymore, but he'll call me up and he'll say, hey, let's go do some laps around the neighborhood. And as much conversation as we get, and we talk about the Word of God, those are those small steps that we all got to be able to be willing to do. But we got to do these things now. Tomorrow's not promised. We know it, but neither is next year. Neither is 6 months from now. So why not do what we got to do now so that God can position us into a place where he's able to bless us with the wealth so that we can do something with it to help the next generation. That's it. That's it, Adia. I'm done.
Thank you so much. I tell you, those verses that you gave are definitely a starter, you know, for people. And I just wanted to share just a little small little testimony, Kimberly, just to show you how powerful last week's show was. Out of nowhere, it wasn't anything that I had thought about. I know it had to be nobody but the Lord. I got up and went to my kids and I said, hey, I said, I want y'all to commit, not for me, but for yourselves, to commit now to reading a passage of Scripture. It doesn't matter if it's a verse. It doesn't matter if you do it in the morning or in the afternoon or, you know, when you at on lunch at school, if you download a Bible app on your phone. I said, do you think that you can do that? And I want you just to do it every day. And they looked at me and they was like, they looked at me like, yeah, that's easy. We can do that. And so that is what came out of what you were talking about yesterday, not just the physical health, but also the spiritual part of it also, having that alignment, you know, in all areas of our lives. And so I thank you so much. And I just had this one question to ask you, Kimberly. What would you tell somebody who has never done a 21-day anything? You know, maybe they had to go to the doctor and they barely could do an 8-hour fast for a doctor's appointment. What would you tell somebody as far as the 21 days, how to tackle that so that it is not a 21-day overwhelming experience, but it's kind of like eating the elephant one chunk at a time, especially if they've never done it before?
Thank you, Adia. I can totally identify. I would say there's a couple of things. The first being an accountability partner. A lot of times if we don't have anybody that will hold us accountable for our decision or a form of a mentor that will guide us through, it's going to be extremely challenging because I can remember having surgery and as soon as midnight hit, I'm hungry. So I can identify with that. I would say an accountability partner. And if there is no one available during that time to help you through it, instead of doing 21 days, I would try to break it down and maybe do 5 to 7. Just start somewhere. But another thing that happens if we break, if we have a setback and we break the fast, then we are filled with so much guilt and remorse that we go right back into our old behaviors. And I would say, don't beat up on yourself. Just start over again. And even if you don't have a fully unblemished 21 days, give yourself credit for the efforts and the accomplishments that you did make during that time. Because you're building, during that 21 days, you may not have an unblemished record, but you're creating new habits. So the next time you encounter or you attempt to undergo something like that, you'll have a little more experience and a little more conviction to complete it all the way through. But don't let the setbacks get you totally off track. Adia, I also wanted to say I am committed in this moment to studying Daniel 10, 3 to 12, because that was awesome. I did not realize that the 21-day fast was right there.
Awesome.
That is awesome. I really appreciate that. I am going to study that all week long.
Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Do we have anybody else on the line that would like to chime in? This is an opportunity for you to engage a wonderful woman who is just passionate about what she does, passionate about paying it forward. Anybody that would like to comment or has a question for Kimberly on tonight, I ask that you will dial, press 1 on your keypad, and we will bring you in to the conversation because we want you to do and leave here with something. Thank you very much.
Let me hit, I think I got another thing to say. I know we only have a couple of minutes left in the show. When we have shows like this, I'm monitoring the switchboard tonight, and I am very, very pleased that we have more people listening tonight than we did last week. What that tells me is that as God works through us here at PRF to put this information, put what God is depositing into us, flowing with the Spirit in this space, that there's some people that say, I need to do better. There's some people that are out here that some of you who are listening say, I know some other folks that need to do better. And my hope and my prayer, and this is going to be my last comment for tonight, but my hope and my prayer is that whatever we need to do, we just do. Jesus said in a passage of scripture, he says this. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming where no man can work. So I think about people when they get ill. I think about people when unhealthy habits become a way of life where they don't feel like they can turn back the clock. And in a lot of cases, that's the case. We want to be proactive as believers. And I'm speaking strictly to believers right now. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as somebody who you call yourself saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, we have to do better. If we don't do better, then other folks are not going to do better. And it's easy for us to tell people what to do, but the world wants to see what are we doing. And so let us do our part, and let's do it with gladness. And let's just remember that these bodies, God gave us these bodies, but they're not ours. They really belong to God. We're just the stewards over it. And I don't say this, Dr. Dunlap does not say this as if I got the best eating habits. I got the best regimen in exercise. And I want people to understand also who may have chimed in and have not been here from last week's show or chimed in later on in the show tonight. This is not about weight loss. This is about your tail getting healthy so that life can be lived and lived to the abundance, to the fullest. That's where we are right now. If we can't deal with the healthy piece, ain't no need of talking about helping you fix your credit. Ain't no need of talking about helping you reduce your debt. No, we need to deal with the health. We need to deal with your body, because as the body gets dealt with, then some of these other things are going to start taking care of themselves. Some folk, let's be honest, some folk, and if we go over 9 o'clock a day, that's cool, but some folk can't save any money because they're spending a whole bunch of extra money, required money, on medication. So they can't save. And that's a reality in a lot of our communities. So let's do better. Let's follow the path of the ant in Proverbs 6:6-8. Let's not follow the path of the ants or of not the ants, but who the writer of Proverbs is speaking to in verses 9-11. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to go and look at it. And I want you to commit to being like the ant in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6-8, not like the ones in verses 9-11. So, again, Kimberly, thank you so much. Adia, awesome job handling everything. My heart is overjoyed tonight. So we love y'all.
Thank you.
Love
so
you
much,
too, my TRF family. Thank you so much, and have an amazing, amazing week.
Thank you. Mama,
thank
do you,
you
have any closing comments for us? We got 3 minutes left.
No more than I'm just excited here about the accountability partner and those steps that she was saying we need to take. And I'm taking that serious, and the preparation she says before. I'm just excited about all of it.
Great.
All right. So just to close us out, you know, we just want to invite you back to the table on next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are on Mountain Standard Time, that's 6 p.m. Central Time at 7 p.m. And if you are all the way on the West Coast, can we say West Coast, y'all, that is 5 p.m. We want everybody to know that they have a seat at the table where everybody is welcome to come. You may come partially, you know, stomach hurting, but I know for a fact that by the time you leave the table, you are going to leave having had an appetizer, a full course meal, and dessert on the side. And don't just, you know, take it for yourself, but send a text message out. Go to our page on Facebook where you can share this page and invite other people to join us at the table. Pay it forward. Tell somebody what you learned and what you heard today. If you liked what you heard, let's share that information, because we know for a fact that someone needs to hear this information. Somebody has been praying. Somebody's been fasting. Someone was just having a thought or a conversation within themselves, or maybe a coworker or a family member or a friend, about some changes that they wanted to make in their life. And just like Dr. Dunlap said, it has to start with the physical. Maybe you're not able to just turn down your plate, but you can say, I can get up and go walk to, you know, to the block and back. Maybe you're not even there. Maybe there's some things that you've been pondering in your heart and in your mind that you've not shared with anybody. But I believe in, with everything in me, that if you invite somebody to come to the table on next week at this very time, that they will walk away with something that is going to help them to make and create healthy habits, that is going to give them option, that's going to give them choices to say, I may not can do a full 21 days, but I can do 5-7. And so we thank you so much for joining with us on tonight. Dr. Dunlap, if you have any closing comments. Kimberly, if you have any closing comments, I want to turn it over to you. And I thank you all very so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dunlap, Adia, Mama, my PRF family. I just want to say thank you, and I am so excited about another week. And sitting here in retrospect and in our closing statement, I realize that my new PRF family is an extension of my accountability partner. When you have people that sow into your life and believe in you and are looking forward to each and every accomplishment that you make, that is a form of accountability, and I am just that much more confident and just that much more encouraged because you guys believe and support me so significantly. So I want to say thank you and bless you all, and I love you much. And Thursday at 8 o'clock is the best time to be at the PRF table. Thank you so much.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So listen, we have two more shows. We have two more parts of this series next Thursday, and which is the 19th, and then also on January the 26th. One of the things that we're going to do next week, so, you know, sometimes you give the little extra nuggets to folks that stay around until the benediction. One of the things that we're going to do next week is we're going to have Kimberly talk a little bit from her perspective as an independent business owner. She didn't just do this just because there were some products that that helped her, and then she got involved in the business. And we want folks to be able to understand the totality of this whole thing. It's not just about I'm going to tell myself I'm going to do something and then I don't have anything to go to. And so we want to give her an opportunity to talk about her business model and what she does from a business perspective. And we want to support her. We want to support her. And so we're going to encourage everybody to come back again and listen and find out a little bit about the business side of things because they're important. Because they're important. So with that, God bless y'all. We are going to talk to y'all next Thursday. And visit our website as well, prfministry.org, so you can see what we have going on. We have some awesome courses that we're offering this year, and we want everybody to just get in where they can fit in. So with that, God bless you. We love you. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Good night.
Good night.